Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 378. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It is good. Another day in paradise to talk ball and another good episode ahead of us.
You definitely had a lot better weather down there than we have up here. Your picture from the field the other day that I'm up here still dealing with snowstorms and longing for 60-degree weather where I can get out to the field. It'll come. We're almost through winter. It's almost March now. You're listening to this, it's going to be March the very next day. So it's almost here. The worst months are behind us, thankfully. And getting to talk baseball always makes it feel a little bit warmer. And looking ahead here with our second crystal ball episode of the week. Already did the prospect crystal ball earlier in the week. If you missed that, go back and check that out. That was a lot of fun. And now we're doing the dynasty crystal ball today, predicting the top players at each position 3 years out. We did the prospect one for 1 year ahead, the dynasty one 3 years ahead. So give it a bit better chance for more changes, some new names potentially, though plenty of familiar names as well. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I'm Eric Ross, MLB. Show's at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydadgo.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And, of course, check out all the great things going on over at Rotoballer, especially with the great content available with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Rotoballer's VIP Draft Kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen, and quick shout out to both of those great guys, both FSWA award winners today. Ariel's podcast, Beat the Shift, won Podcast of the Year, and Nick Mariano won Baseball Series of the Year. So great work by them. Two phenomenal guys, two phenomenal writers. The VIP draft kit also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, let's start off with the catcher spot here. Top five catchers in the year, what's 3 years from now? 2028, which just feels really weird to say. But Chris, who are your top five 3 years from now?
Yeah, so catcher's an interesting position because we tend to see guys that could fall off quickly with age. But in general, like I looked at my dynasty rankings and I feel like they're in, the top guys are actually in a pretty good spot from as far as age goes to kind of sustain their reliability long term. So, the top three were pretty easy for me. I still got William Contreras, Adley Rutschman, and Yiner Diaz. You've got Contreras and Rutschman that are 27 and Yiner Diaz is 26. So I think in 3 years, they're still very viable options. Also, still have Cal Raleigh in the mix because he's only 28. He's a bopper. I think he sustains that power long term. And I've got Francisco Alvarez in the fifth spot. So this was kind of tough. It was tough to leave out Samuel Basayo. Is he still catching then? I don't know. I would like to hope so. But for me, it was Contreras, Rutschman, Diaz, Raleigh, and Alvarez, which is pretty close to what I already have right now.
Yeah, so I had Contreras one still. He'll be 30 then, so I think still be peak years for William Contreras. I had Yiner Diaz two, Adley three. I had Basayo at four, and I put Dalton Rushing at five. It was really hard. It was a big cluster there. It felt weird leaving out a Cal Raleigh and Francisco Alvarez as well, but ended up going with Rushing in that five spot. I kind of wonder 3 years from now, Will Smith maybe doing some DH at this point? I don't know. It's kind of hard to speculate that far ahead, but definitely a believer in Rushing. I think he's going to be a very good bat. Maybe this is not with the Dodgers. Maybe that's his path to being this high in rankings. Maybe he gets traded to another team and finally gets the playing time he deserves right now. So Contreras, Diaz, Adley, Samuel Basayo, Dalton Rushing. A couple of dark horses, I wrote an article, so I put a couple of dark horses at each position. Dark horses for catcher for me, Ivan Herrera and Augustin Ramirez. But I think catcher's in a really good spot, moving forward here. A lot of good catching prospects coming up. A lot of good young catchers already in the major leagues. So definitely feel like this could be a pretty good position for the future. Where do you see Dalton Rushing in 3 years, Chris? Is he still catching? Is he on a different team? I know, obviously, you've been very high in him for a bit now. Where do you see Rushing in 3 years?
Yeah, no, I think the Rushing's really good. I think he's going to be behind the plate still. Will Smith at that point will be 33. So I think Rushing's probably catching a little bit more. You also have Otani that's got locked in that TH spot. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Maybe Rushing's traded. I actually think Rushing is a good enough catcher to be behind the plate long term. I think your hope is that this year he's going to catch maybe 1 or 2 days a week. Once he comes up and play outfield other days, but I know that situation's crowded. I think the talent wins out, though. I think Rushing's certainly pushing this for me, but I'm just more comfortable going with the established guys that I know can produce, but I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Rushing right in here.
Yeah, for sure. Any other names that were hard for you to leave out? I mean, for me, the hard one to leave out was Cal Raleigh. Will Smith a little bit, too, but again, he'll be 33, so I think he'll still be good, maybe back in the top 10, but yeah, Raleigh and Alvarez were the two hard ones for me to leave out.
Yeah, I mean, Langoliers had a really good year. Ohapi, I still think, could be very good.
Yep.
And I think Austin Wells is probably the dark horse, like if you're looking for somebody that could vault. Austin Wells is that guy. But yeah, certainly tough to leave out. I think Langoliers was a tough omission. He's a lot better than he's gotten credit for, and I just really, really believe in his potential.
Yeah, he's almost turned into a Cal Raleigh light of sorts, where it's kind of like lower average, but hitting plenty of home runs, turned into a nice power hitter at that catcher spot. So, yeah, this position has got a lot of talent here, better than it has been in a lot of years. Let's move over to first base now. For me, I got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in number one. He's still be 29 at that point. I got Tristan Casas, number two. Nick Kurtz, number three. Bryce Eldridge, number four. Jack Caglione, number five. I mean, it was really hard for me to leave out a Matt Olson. I think there's going to be, a big cluster. I was pretty good with Vladdy and Casas. One, two. Everyone knows I'm super high on Tristan Casas. I mean, Harper I love, but he'll be 35 at that point. Probably still good, but maybe not a top five at this position. Matt Olson, Pete Alonso, plus the three big prospects, I think are going to be really close together at that point. I wouldn't rule out, Vinny P, but maybe he's more of just a back-end top 10 guy. Same with Josh Neal, where I don't think he's going to be top five. So it was a cluster there, hard to leave out Olson. Olson will be 34 at that point. So the way I always did when I did this exercise, I'm not thinking who will have the best season 3 years from now, but where these guys will be ranked for dynasty 3 years from now. So Olson being 34 at that time, starting to move down rankings a little bit. So I think he's in that 6 or 7 range. So that's why I went with the young guys. So Vladdy Jr., Tristan Casas, Nick Kurtz, Bryce Eldridge and Jack Cagliar in my top five. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, so this position's a little different because unlike catcher, there's a lot of older guys at the top. So it's kind of interesting, like, how do these guys age? Is Bryce Harper still, you know, super relevant at 35? I tend to lean that he will stay in my top five, just given, you know, you look at what Freddie Freeman's done, and I feel like Harper's still in the top five. But Vlad's the easy number one for me here. Second, I actually like Vinny Pasquantino to take a jump. He's made a lot of good strides under the hood. He's just waiting for that breakout season to happen. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Vinny P has the breakout season that we're waiting on this year, and he does vault into the top five entering 2026, which then would mean he would stick for a couple more years, hopefully, because he's only 27 right now. I do like Bryce Eldridge a lot. I think that he factors in here for me at three. Kurtz, I love him and Cags. Kurtz does worry me a bit with his consistent injury history, and that might plague him a little bit. So I'm going on the safer side, and I'm leaving Bryce Harper and Pete Alonso in here. Harper will be 35 in 3 years. But again, like, I look at a Freddie Freeman who I currently have fourth. I feel like Harper can still maintain that production. I still believe in the profile at that point. Think he's going to be hitting plenty of home runs. The OBP skills are really good. And then Alonso just turned 30. So at 33, I have a hard time thinking that he still won't be close to the same player that he is right now. And for a Kurtz or Caglione to pass a Pete Alonso, you know, Cags would have to, like, honestly, like, Cags would need to hit like his 95th percentile outcome, I think, to be what Pete Alonso currently is. I mean, we are talking somebody that's averaged 40 home runs the last, I mean, basically his entire career. I'm pretty sure he has averaged 40. So, you know, I think Alonso stays in there. So I've got Vlad, I've got Vinny P, I've got a Bryce Eldridge, and then I've got Harper and Pete Alonso. So again, maybe boring, but I still like those guys to be productive. And I think that you can kind of rely on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I still think they'll be productive as well. No Matt Olson for you?
Yeah, he's a fringe one. I think that he could bounce back this year. Another one, he's 30, so he'll be 33. I think he's right on that cusp where maybe it's him in and not Eldridge. So, you know, Eldridge could really kind of fall out if he has a rough year this year. There are some whiff concerns. There's concerns against lefties. So I'm curious. He's 20, so I'm not knocking him for that. I've obviously got right. Bryce Eldridge as the top prospect. So, you know, I'm still very much in on all those guys, and I think that Olson could fit in that equation as well.
Yeah, this one was probably the toughest one for me just because, like, yeah, like you alluded to, there's, you know, a mix of, like, we got these prospects coming up. We got some of the guys that are aging a bit. You know, if I was ranking on, like, value for that season in 3 years from now, yeah, I probably still would have, you know, one of those other three, like Alonso or Olson or Harper still in there. So I think they'll still all three be very good. I don't see any really concerning signs with them that they're going to fall off. You know, the only one thing that can, you know, maybe be a concern, obviously, is Harper's durability. That's kind of been a question at times. And is that going to get even worse as he gets up to be 34, 35, 36? Hopefully not, because I love Bryce Harper. I think he's great for the game. And love when he's healthy, so hope not. Have a lot of shares of him in Dynasty as well. But yeah, this is a really fun position with the blend of the old guys and the kind of the new guard coming in here over the next few years. My dark horses, there wasn't really any great ones here, but one with Jonathan Aranda and Christian Encarnacion Strand, who had an absolutely terrible year, but still has a lot of power, so that's, you know, so he's a dark horse. Probably won't happen, but yeah, really fun position there. First base. All right, let's slide over to the Keystone. Who you guys, your top five second baseman in 3 years?
Oh, yeah. This one was another tough one because the top second basemen are, like, I've got Mookie Betts with still eligibility. He's 32. Kettle Marte's 31. Ozzy is 28. Altuve's 30, be 35 soon. So, yeah, I was trying to kind of work through this. Like, how do I envision second base shaking out? And this was the one where I felt more inclined to move prospects in, just given, you know, the nature of the position right now and where it could be. So I wanted to put Albies one by default because, you know, I don't know how Marte is at 34. Like, how does that profile look? Betts at 35. Like, is there some decline? His body could, you know, kind of fall off at that point. But again, Altuve has made it work with a smaller body. So here's where I landed. I'm just going to go on a limb and I'm going to put Christian Campbell at one. Just the skill set is incredible. Power, speed, hit, on base skills. He pretty much checks all the boxes. So I lean Campbell at number one here. I put Ozzie Albies at two, just given the experience. I mean, he'll be 31 in 3 years. I still think Mookie Betts and Kettle Marte are probably towards the top here, but I don't know. Like, when I look at what Travis Bazzana could be, I think that Bazzana in 3 years is probably better than what Kettle Marte has given you at that point in his career, and even Mookie Betts. So I put Travis Bazzana at three, even though I think that he might could be one. It wouldn't shock me at all if he was at number one here. And then there were some tough choices because I really wanted to put Kevin McGonigal in. I love that profile. I think Altuve's out the picture at this point. I just don't believe at that point he's relevant at 38. He may be relevant, but not fully relevant. I think Jackson Holliday could certainly fit in this picture. I mean, he just turned 21. So, you know, Holliday for me, I think I'll slide him in at the fourth slot, and then I'll put Mookie Betts at five. But gosh, Kettle Marte leaving him out is really hard. So, you know, I think that any of those guys could factor in. It wouldn't shock me if you still had any of Ozzie, Kettle Marte, or Mookie Betts still in the picture. Who knows if Betts is even second base? I'm just looking at it now. He probably won't have second base by then, so that may be completely throw him out, and you can put Kettle at five.
Yeah, this one was pretty tough because there's a lot of guys where I'm not sure if they're going to stay there, if they're going to move there. I mean, and I did move some guys around. Like, if I thought, like, oh, this guy is destined for this spot, you know, I'd move him there in this exercise. But, you know, Mookie Betts was, I'll say now, I don't have him in any position, which was really, really hard and hurt me, you know, deep in my soul, because I love Mookie Betts. You know, even after the Red Sox tenure, I still love Mookie Betts. It's hard not to love Mookie Betts. So, but I don't know where he's eligible in 3 years. Could still be second, short, and outfield, knowing him. He's, you know, one of the best athletes of our generation. Yeah, I did leave him out. It was really hard, but I didn't know where he was. Plus the age, I was like, eh. I aired, you know, and left him out, but you know, he was definitely close at, you know, all three positions that he's currently eligible at. But you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I also have Christian Campbell at number one. I felt the best, you know, even though he's, you know, yet to make his major league debut, that'll happen very, very soon here in 2025. Like you said, like, he just checks off all the boxes. There's no real weakness in this game. That weakness entering last year was, you know, how much power would he get to? He answered that. He's a guy that's going to give you really good production across the board. I mean, maybe 20 plus, you know, with a high average, you know, good amount of, you know, run production as well. And still kind of uncertain where he winds up long term. I do think it is second base long term. I don't think, and while it might be Bregman there initially, I don't think Bregman will be there the entire time he's in Boston. So I think the long term second baseman for Boston is Christian Campbell. And yeah, I think he's going to be an early round fantasy asset for years to come, and he'll be 25 at this point in time, so still very young. I felt good about Campbell at one, and then I could have gone 14 different ways with the rest of this top five. I ended up with Jazz Chisholm at number two, another guy where I don't know where he'll be. I mean, he was second base, well, he's a shortstop way back in the day, then moved to second base, then to outfield, then to third base, now back to second base. I don't know, maybe he'll be at first base at this time. I don't freaking know. But, you know, Jazz with, you know, the big power speed blend, I kind of feel like he does stay at second base moving forward, but I don't have a ton of confidence in saying that. But, you know, obviously it can be a little bit of a polarizing profile with him. You know, there's obviously some concerns, you know, with contact. You know, K-Rate's got up there a little bit at times. Obviously, you know, the injuries that have piled up already for him. He'll be 30 at this time, so not too old yet, so I think he'll be up there. I have Matt McClain, number three. Everyone knows I'm a Matt McClain guy, and there's, you know, the good power-speed blend there. He'll be 28 at this time, and I think he'll be still, you know, a good five-category producer, you know, like a, you know, 25, you know, 15 to 20 steal type with a good average. And that Reds lineup, you know, obviously a lot of young talent there. You know, it'd be great if Encarnacion Strand ends up being a good power hitter. If Noel V bounces back and is something, that could be a really fun lineup moving forward. And Matt McClain being right in the middle of that. I have Travis Bezzana at number four. Like Campbell, he will also be 25. And this is one of the best pure hitting prospects in the minor leagues right now with decent power speed. I mean, he's not a masher, he's not a burner, but you know, this could be a guy that's, you know, 20 plus, year in, year out with a high average, high OBP. So I think he's a guy that had to be included in this five. And then at number five, I ended up going with Ketel Marte, who again be 34. Could have gone with Mookie Betts here. Could have gone with Ozzy here. I mean, I'm a little concerned about Ozzy, where he's had some injury issues. Maybe they're a little bit more fluky, sure. But you know, he'd be number like six or seven, just outside this top five. And then Jackson Holliday, another one that's could easily be in here. He could easily be, you know, I like Campbell more long term, but if Holiday's number two here, you know, in 3 years, it wouldn't shock me. Obviously, you know, good power there, good speed. Maybe he's not the batting title, you know, winner that we thought he could be, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, like Zach Gallop or anything like that. You know, so I think the average will be fine. The OBP will be decent as well. So he was a tough cut. And yeah, you mentioned McGonagall. I had him as one of my dark horses as well. I mean, love Kevin McGonagall, and then we both have waxed poetically about McGonagall on this podcast. So I wouldn't be surprised if he would be up here at that point as well. So Campbell, Jazz, McClain, Bezzana, and Ketel Marte are my five. Hopping over to the hot corner now. I end up going with, you know, one of the darlings of Twitter right now, Junior Caminero, as my number one third baseman. He'll only be 24 in this you know, exercise here 3 years from now. I went Jordan Westberg, number two. Austin Riley, number three. He'll still only be 31. I went with Matt Shaw in the fourth spot here. I think long-term he will be a third baseman and, you know, a 2020 caliber third baseman, which we just don't see very often. Another guy that doesn't wow you any one area, but is just really solid across the board. Without any real weaknesses in his game. So Shaw had the four spot. He'll be 26 in 3 years. And then five, I put Royce Lewis. Don't feel good about it whatsoever. And leaving out Jose Ramirez was maybe the toughest thing on this entire exercise. But in 3 years, Joram's 35, you know, turning 36 that season, easily could still be in there. You know, it's gonna wonder if he's kind of fallen off a little bit at that point in time. This is a very talented position as well. You know, maybe we have some shortstops that are currently at shortstops now that move over to third at that point. We always do. So maybe there's another, you know, shortstop that'll move over there and be in this mix at that time. I even put Jordan Lawler as one of my dark horses because maybe he's a guy that's over at third at that point in time. Definitely another few guys that could be, you know, included here. You know, maybe Jazz goes back over. You know, actually, I completely, wait a minute. I just screwed up. I missed Rafael Devers. I don't know why. What am I doing? I just realized, I completely forgot about him in my.
He's a DH now, right?
Yeah, he might be. Maybe that's why I didn't put him in my article. Maybe he might be a DH. Okay, so I'll just say I'll go with that he's a TH at that point. He probably is. But if he's still at third base, I'd have him two here behind. I'll still go Cameron at one. But Rafi will only be 31 then. I think Rafi's still going to be hitting the crap out of the ball at age 31. I mean, he's already at 200 career home runs, and I think he's a guy who could flirt with 500 home runs in his career, end up being one of the best Red Sox hitters of all time. Yeah, so he'll be 31, and if he's still at third base, definitely will put him in the two spot here. But, yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence he's still there in, you know, especially with all the guys coming up. I don't think he's there for much longer, but... All right, so again, Caminero, Westberg, Riley, Shaw, Lewis. If Devers is still there, I'll put Devers in that two slots. All right, who you got, Chris?
All right, so for me, like Jose Ramirez was one that did not make it at 35.5. Obviously, he just came off his best season ever. I think last year it was elite, but I had a tough choice to leave him off here. I debated. So Jazz was one I had at third, and so I put him in this set of rankings. You could put him at second base. Again, I don't know where he lands long term, but for me, I think that it will be Austin Riley at the top, still at 30. You just look at what he is. I think Junior Caminero's peak is Austin Riley. So Austin Riley for me, and then it's Junior Caminero, followed by Jazz. He may be at second. If he's at second, he would certainly be in that top five. And then into the prospect side, Matt Shaw, I think he's just high floor, consistent, power, speed, hit on base. And I'm going out on a limb here, and I think that Cam Smith makes that massive leap.
Ooh,
that,
I like it.
We think he can. He got all the buzz this offseason as a guy that made major leaps. He has looked really good in spring so far in major league camp. And he looks the part, man. Like, he has the body, the frame. Like, Cam Smith just might be a dude. And so it wouldn't shock me if he passed, like, a Kobe Mayo for this spot. But, like, some tough omissions. Like, I mean, Royce, definitely. Can he stay healthy enough? Manny Machado, he'll be 35 and a half. I just don't know. Jordan Westberg was a tough omission. There was just some tough guys to leave off here. But, yeah, so I will go with Riley, Caminero, Jazz, Shaw, and Cam Smith. Just throwing a little dart there for fun. Hope it works out.
Hey, Mike, Cam Smith, absolutely. I mean, could use that, you know, those Crawford boxes to his advantage and turn into a 30-plus homer bat. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Mayo. As I was going to bring him up, because I'm sure people are out there kind of wondering, oh, where's Kobe Mayo? Yeah, how strong of consideration was Mayo for you in yeah. making this top five?
I mean, I just debated him or Cam Smith, ultimately. I mean, I think that one has really solid momentum in Cam Smith, which is kind of why I went that way. But at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't be shocked if Mayo and Cam Smith are really similar players, you know, from the standpoint of power. Cam Smith might have a little better feel to hit, which is kind of why I lean that way. So, you know, I still believe in Mayo. He may not get the reps you want this year, but I'm still a big Kobe Mayo believer long term. So it was not easy just to leave him off here.
Yeah, he was my toughest omission. Well, Joe Ram was the toughest, but yeah, Mayo was also a tough. He'd probably be in like that 7-ish range for me. But yeah, and you got to figure, you know, maybe Mayo raw power wise has a slight advantage, but you know, even with them moving the, you know, left field wall back in a little bit at Camden, you know, still the better, you know, right handed ballpark factor for right handed power at what's the name of the new park? The die starts with a D, right?
I don't remember off the top of my head, to be honest.
I don't either.
With you, so.
Can you stop changing ballpark names every 3 years? That's why I love Fenway. It's been Fenway my entire freaking life. And I think there'd be, you know, the old Simpsons meme with the firing, you know, fiery pitchforks if they ever tried to change the name from Fenway. But all these other ballparks that change their names so often. I can't keep up anymore. But yeah, definitely better ballpark factor, at least a little bit there for Cam Smith. So I like that pick a lot. Let's go over to shortstop. I mean, I think there's still, and we still got the three young studs at the top. Well, I assume we're your top three, but who do you got top five at shortstop in 3 years?
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking of those top three change. Bobby Witt, Gunnar Henderson, Ellie De La Cruz. If Ellie was number one, I wouldn't be shocked. If Bobby Witt was still number one, I wouldn't be shocked. Gunnar was one, I wouldn't be shocked. I think you can kind of say all those guys are in a tier. And then after that, it gets kind of fun because Francisco Lindor has been the model of consistency, but he'll be 34. So it's like, who could make way for the next grouping, you know, like which guys could jump. And, you know, there's several MLB guys that could obviously jump, but, you know, I think it's not insane to say that Sebastian Walcott will be in this picture. And the crazy thing is Walcott will only be 22 years old at that point. But
yep.
I mean, Walcott looks the part. He has looked the part. He handled his own in Double A and High A last year. He's in Major League spring training right now. And like, you know, it's not crazy to say that Sebastian Walcott will be in this picture. So I think Walcott's got to come in at four. It would take a lot for him to surpass those top three, either something happening to those top three or he's just, you know, on another planet, honestly. So, but I do think Walcott works his way into that picture. After that, like, you could go a lot of ways. I mean, you could go on the MLB side, and I struggled with it. I'm like, okay, is one of the vets still there? Is Lindor there at 34? Is Corey Seager there at 34? And you hope that their health holds up. Seager's health is not held up to this point. Like O'Neill Cruz, he's not going to have shortstop if he continues to play the outfield. 35-year-old Trey Turner, how much does he run? Do I really believe C.J. Abrams takes that jump? I don't. And honestly, like, I struggle to see, like, any of the other, like, current major league shortstops taking that big jump, which then led me to go with J.J. Weatherholt, which is doesn't seem super exciting, but if you look at the landscape of shortstop and what Weatherholt can bring to the table when healthy, it's a very enticing player. Yep. And honestly, like, you look at what Francisco Lindor has done, and I'm not saying that, like, that's the kind of production you'll get from Weatherholt, but we forget that Weatherholt has the plus run times. Like, he's a legit runner, and he didn't steal much his junior year of college just because the hamstring injury, but he's definitely a plus runner or better. I think the power's there. We saw it in college. We saw it with Wood in his pro debut, and the field of hit and on-base skills are incredible. Like, the discipline plus contact skills are plus too. Like, this is a really solid profile all around. Weatherholt doesn't fit the mold that you think of when you think of, like, a superstar, like, top five shortstop type. And shoot, he may not even be at shortstop. Like, I've got him here because he's only played shortstop in pro ball, but he may be third, he may be second. Like, I don't know, but I do think that Weatherholt, like, just kind of going down my list and looking, like, who could be there, it wouldn't shock me. Like, if Weatherholt hits his peak, if he hits close to his peak, he's going to be a complete baller that everyone's going to wish they had. And I think that he may show us this year that he's the best hitter in the minor.
Yeah. No, I think this is a position we are the most in tune with out of all of them so far, because I had Weatherholt as one of my dark... I didn't have him in my top five, but I had him as one of my dark horses, along with a Carson Williams. You know, maybe the hit tool could take a step forward. I think he could, you know, if he hits a high percentage outcome, I think his ceiling is in the area. But yeah, getting into the top five at shortstop means, like, the top 25 overall. Yep. And yeah, there's no way I was going anywhere. Like, this was the easiest 1-2-3 of the entire exercise, without question. Like, wasn't even hard at all. And so I saw Bobby Witt at one. I went Ellie 2, Gunner 3. Like you said, I wouldn't be shocked if that's any which way. Obviously, Ellie could go freaking 45-75 or something. Now, Gunner is maybe the most boring of the three, but he's still really damn good. So yeah, like, these three are top five overall. For me right now, I think, yeah, Witt's at one. I think Elliott and Gunner are back-to-back 4-5 for me right now. And that may still be, maybe they're 1-2-3 overall in 3 years. You know, we'll see. But yeah, no reason. And they'll all be, Witt will be 27, Elliott and Gunner 26. So they'll be right entering their physical prime. It's fun that they're already top five guys overall right now. And then go 3 years in the future and they're still only 26, 27. Such a fun trio. And at 4-5, I went with two guys you mentioned, and one older, one younger. I went Lindor at number four. He'll still be 34 years old at that point. Because, again, like, similar to what you said, again, we're very in tune at this spot. I didn't feel great about any of the guys that I currently have that are, like, back in top 10 shortstops. I mean, Corey Seager, phenomenal hitter, but, you know, he's missed some time. He'll be 34 then. Yeah, he was a difficult one to cut. You know, Cruz is probably an outfielder at that point in time. Who knows? Maybe he does, you know, stick at shortstop long term. We'll see. I've always been a little bit lower than most on Abrams. You know, I don't think guys like, you know, Neto or Tovar, Volpe, any of those guys take that jump. So I ended up kind of, you know, it was between Lindor and Betts there. So I went, ended up going Lindor. You could have easily put Betts in that spot as well. Betts is a little over a year older than Lindor, so that played a little bit of a factor. Then I went Sebastian Walcott at five, the young gun there, because, you know, as we talked about a lot, you know, the upside, it probably has the highest upside, you know, or highest pure ceiling offensively of any prospect currently in the minors, or at least in the top handful. He's absolutely in that conversation. You know, maybe it turns into, you know, an O'Neill Cruz situation where maybe the average isn't phenomenal, but good enough. Maybe he's hitting 260 or something like that, but with obviously big power, big speed potential. Maybe he's a Jazz Chisholm type. I mean, those are all kind of, you know, outcomes I could see with Walcott, and I think that'll put him up in that five range, if not top five, pretty close to it. So yeah, Witt, Ellie, Gunner, easy, Lindor, Walcott, and then dark horses, Williams and Weatherholt. Yeah, I was talking the other day with Tim Kanak on Fantasy Aceball podcast about Weatherholt, and he's very high on him as well. And says, yeah, he Weatherholt is just really good across the board, and I think maybe we might look back, you know, the little dip that some people got from Weatherholt, you know, having the injury, dropped him down a couple spots in FYPD. That might look foolish in a couple years, and maybe he's the best one in this draft class. Easily could see that. All right, let's go to the outfield now. We'll go top. What do you want to go, top 10 for the outfield, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. This one actually is kind of like shortstop. There's not a lot of change here because, you know, all the top guys for the most part are early to mid-20s. So I think the oldest guy in this top 10 for me is 31. So I'm going to go, I mean, this was tough. You can make a case for like 15 guys, to be honest with you. This would be fun to see how we our top 10 shake out and compare here. I end up going, I'm fully on board here. I went Wyatt Langford at one. I don't know. Obviously, I'm very high on Langford. Everyone knows that, and for good reason. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit up and down last year for the first 4 months or so, though the metrics were still good under the hood during that time frame. Then he went gangbusters in September, 8 home runs, 7 steals, like 25 runs, 20 RBI, something like that. So I have Langford at one. I end up going James Wood at two. Jackson Churio, 3. Those guys would be 26, 25, and 24, respectively, in 3 years from now, which is, again, insane to think that Churio will still be 24 when this exercise goes off. I have Acuna in the 4 spot. He'll be 30 then. Then Soto, 5. He'll be 29. 6 through 10, Corbin Carroll, Julio Rodriguez, both 27 at that time. Went Tatis, 8. He'll be 29. The old man of the group, Kyle Tucker, 31 years old, but I think Tucker's going to age very gracefully and still be one of the best hitters in the game in his early 30s, so I want him at 9. And then number 10, Roman Anthony, who will be 23 years old at that time. You know, I in my article, I also had the rest, my 11 through 15, which were just real quick, Yordan, Jackson Merrill, Jason Dominguez, Dylan Cruz, and Jaron Duran. I put dark horses, Chase DeLauder and Connor Griffin. Obviously, super high upside there. So yeah, this was really hard. I mean, all these guys are already either ranked top 10 or could be jumping up in that as soon as this year. You know, Langford, Wood, Churio could all jump up to be top 10 players this year. They're already ranked, you know, top 15, 20 for most part in Dynasty. Acuna, I mean, could easily still be number one, obviously. And we've seen the immense upside from him. He's had the most home runs and steals combined in one season in this 21st century. Ohtani almost passed him this last year, but Acuna had one more the previous year. Soto, I mean, these guys are still all so, you know, fairly young at this stage, 3 years out, still all in their mid to late 20s, all very talented. So I was trying to go a little more spicy, but I think I would looked foolish trying to spice it up more than this. So I'll go Langford, Wood, Churio, Acuna, Soto, Carroll, J-Rod, Tatis, Tucker, Roman Anthony. All right, Chris, who you got there?
Yeah, I agree. I think the guys in the majors are really hard to displace just given age. So, you know, I look at the profiles. I'll be the guy that goes edgy and puts Jackson Churio at one. Like,
I thought about it.
He could be what Acuna has shown at times. Maybe he doesn't steal 70 bags, but you know, Churio's upside is pretty immense there. So Jackson Churio followed by, gosh, this was tough. I still really believe in Corbin Carroll. Honestly, like he popped a 110 yesterday in spring training and that looked really good. Yeah. I mean, I think the shoulder's healthy. He's still only 24. So Corbin Carroll's power speed should be around for a long time. If he's a 25 home run bat with a high batting average and 50 steals, then that's super valuable. So Churio and Carroll, just because I think the speed's going to be there that you'd like to see. I want to believe in my heart that Acuna bounces back and is the guy that we've all wanted him to be. So he's 27, he'll be 30, but I struggled with him. Where do I put him?
Same.
I couldn't put him in the 3 spot. So yeah, I kind of backed off a little bit there, even though I debated him pretty heavily. And ultimately, I went out on a limb and said Tatis because I think Tatis still has another gear we haven't seen. People's argument, he's only been elite 1 year. He's had injuries, you know, the PED stuff. I get it all. But I still think Tatis has that gear that we're yet to see. So 26-year-old Tatis in his prime at 29, I'll take him at 3. I think Soto is still Soto in 3 years. Yeah, he doesn't steal bags really, but power and OBP skills are through the roof elite. I'll take Kyle Tucker still being really good. So that would be sixth spot. And then Acuna and J-Rod, like, I want to go higher on Acuna. I think J-Rod's still in that mix, even if he's not, like, the elite of the elite. Then it's Wyatt Langford for me. I think that Langford's ceiling is not as high as Chirios, but the floor is probably higher. And then Jackson Merrill in there as well. You know, I think Merrill still has plenty to gain and prove. And my kind of, like, dark horse to jump in is, like, a Riley Green type, where I'm pretty high on him. I'm probably higher than most on him. I've got him ranked 37 in Dynasty, but I believe he's a 30 home run bat. I believe he's going to swipe a few bags and hit for a good average. He's shown us the ability to do that. So, you know, Riley Green may sneak in there. Yeah, obviously the prospects like Roman Anthony could fit in that picture. Dylan Cruz could jump in that picture as well. If you want a real dark horse, if he stays healthy, it's Emmanuel Rodriguez, who wouldn't shock me at all. Then you've also got the fun guys like a Zaire Hope. How good is Zaire Hope? Or, you know, Josue De Paula, how good does he become? But you're kind of getting down the prospect ranks where it's not like those, you know, major upside guys. So I think what is in the top 10 is kind of hard to displace. Aaron Judge will be 36. Yeah, he could definitely still be in there. Jordan Alvarez, if his knees hold up, that's my biggest fear with Jordan. Yeah. And James Wood, you know, how high does he go? Like, he could be right in that mix as well. But this was a tough position just given how many good players there are.
Yeah, like I said, you could go 1,000 different ways with this. I think we ended up having eight similar. Yes, you didn't have Wood or Anthony in your top 10.
Yeah.
But you had Merrill and like, who was the other
Green.
One? Green. Riley Green, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merrill and Green were the two that you had in. And yeah, I think I had Merrill at 12. Green was up in that consideration as well. Yeah, this is an absolutely loaded position. And yeah, again, I was going to bring up Aaron Judge, too, just to see like how much, you know, how hard was it for you to leave Aaron Judge out? Because, yeah, looking at a dynasty thing, he's currently 32 and, you know, 32.7 or so. So he'll be pushing 36. I think he'll probably turn 36 in the middle of the season in 2028. So super old, but he could still be hitting 50 home runs at that time. He could be at pushing 600 career home runs at that time or something, or higher maybe. So yeah, he was tough to leave out, but given that he'll be 35, 36, all of these young studs, again, Tucker's the next oldest here, he'll be 31. So, I mean, shout out to Michael Harris. I saw that he could get into this mix. I'm still a Michael Harris guy. You know, O'Neill Cruz could get in that mix as well. Lawrence Butler as well. I mean, this is such a loaded position. And if, you know, prospects, if Max Clark's power comes along, Max Clark has the upside to get into this conversation. Maybe Walker Jenkins. So, yeah, it's definitely really, really fun position. Always is. I mean, like, I think right now, like, I think 14 of my top 25 overall are from the outfield in my dynasty rankings currently. So it's just absolutely, like, loaded doesn't do it justice. We need a word better than loaded to describe the outfield right now. So, all right, moving over to starting pitcher here. This one, again, could go a lot of different ways. I wonder if the kind of the current top two are still your top two in 3 years. I mean, I think one of them absolutely will be.
Yeah.
But what do you got for your top 10 at the starting pitcher spot?
Yeah, I think that Paul Skenes takes that spot. Yeah, you know, right now I've got Skubal, but Skenes probably passed him this year. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Skenes is still 22. Yeah, I think his best days are ahead. Like, he's adding pitches.
I know.
He's only getting
it's
better.
It's not fair. Already, like, the most unfair pitcher to face, and now he's like, oh, let's add, what was it, like a sinker and a cutter this year that I saw, or something like that.
Yeah,
he's got a turbo sinker. Oh, it's just what he needs. Another great offering.
Yeah, that's absurd. So Skenes was the easy number one choice.
Yep.
I think that Skubal stays there at the top. He'll be 31. Pitchers tend to stay healthier, and I don't say healthier, but they tend to be better longer into the career. Healthy was not the word I was looking for there, so disregard that. But after that, I think it opens up a bit. I've got a cluster of 27-year-olds in my rankings. So it's like, okay, like any of those guys could probably factor in. But also, like, I looked at some guys like the prospects. Like, there's some very enticing prospects here.
Yep.
How good is Bubba Chandler and Jackson Job and Andrew Painter? So, ultimately, I'm just going to go out on the limb and say Bubba Chandler and Jackson Job take the 3 and 4 spot. I know that may be stretching a bit, but I mean, those guys have elite upside. Job also added some pitches this year. That curve looks really, really good. So then I'm kind of going back to the safety well with like a Logan Gilbert. He'll be 30. I think that he'll still be really good. He's only gotten better. If Cole Reagan's arm holds up, if Garrett Crochet's arm holds up, those guys have to be right there. So they would be in the 5 and the 6 spot. And then it's Andrew Painter, who could easily vault up above that. Painter's generic fastball shape does give me a bit of pause. The velo's there, but the shape, it's prone to be hit. And, you know, I think we saw some of that in the AFL. But Painter still has all the upside in the world. So I'll take him there. And then, man, for safety, I'm just going to go George Kirby at the 8 spot. Just safe, boring, but I think he gets the job done. And then I'm going to go with Roky Sasaki and Spencer Strider to round it out, where Sasaki, I think it's going to be a slow burn. I wouldn't be shocked if he loses value this year, just given the innings. Like, I don't think he's going to throw a lot of innings, frankly. And Strider, another one. He's not going to throw a lot of innings. But a 23-year-old Sasaki and a 26-year-old Strider. Strider was arguably the top dynasty pitcher before he went down with TJ. So you have to think he bounces back in that picture. He still has that curveball. We haven't seen it on display because his arm blew out before we got the chance to. But that new curveball, or I say the curveball from 2024 preseason, we will get to see it on display. And I think that he now is going to show you a 4-pitch mix. I think he's going to throw that changeup enough to consider it a pitch. And I think that Strider gets in that 10th spot. So there's a lot of fun names, though, like notable to mention Bryce Miller, who added another pitch too. Like, Bryce Miller just keeps getting better and better. Yuri Perez, Hunter Green could jump in there. I don't know. There's so many names of guys I like Jared Jones, Spencer Schwellenbach, but Grayson Rodriguez. This one was tough for sure, but yep. Pitchers also we see some more volatility. So the top guys, like if you go back and look at dynasty rankings year over year, it's kind of funny to see the differences, but yeah, that's kind of where I landed.
Yeah, this one was, after the top two, it got pretty tough. I mean, I have Skeens 1 and Tarik Skubal 2. Yeah, Skubal will be 31, which is basically 28 or so equivalent for hitters. I mean, you mentioned Zach Wheeler, perfect example. I mean, he's going to be, 38, whatever, at that point in time. If Wheeler's still like a top 10 pitcher at 38, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever.
Yeah.
But obviously can't put him, in top 10 for a dynasty ranking at 38, no matter if he's still good or not at that point in time. So Skeens, Skubal, still 1-2. I went Garrett Crochet at 3. I'm 100% believer in what he did last year. That's not just a Red Sox thing. I was saying that when he was still on the White Sox. So I think he's going to be ace for years to come. So I have Crochet in the 3. And it's not like Super Bowl. You mentioned this guy is one of the guys that just missed for you and was in consideration. I put Yuri Perez in the 4 because, obviously, he was on that trajectory before, needing to go under the knife. I mean, he has the ridiculous stuff, always has. Like, this guy had elite stuff as, a 19, 18-year-old down in lower levels of the minors. And he'll still only be 25 in 3 years. Which is like he's already had, rookie year, missed a year, and then add 3 years, so he'll be 25. He was a 20-year-old rookie 2 years ago. So I had him in the 4 spot. Such good stuff there. Hopefully comes back because he's a really fun pitcher to watch. I went Painter in the 5 spot, who will also be 25 in 3 years. Roky Sasaki, 6, who will be 26. Jackson Job, 7, another 25-year-old. I also had Strider in here. I have him in the 8th spot here, only 29. I mean, I think he'll still be striking out, a crap ton of guys. He's one of the few guys that has even a shot at going 300 strikeouts, though maybe nobody does anymore because, even at, 200 innings, 300 strikeouts is a lot to get to. So maybe we don't see 300 again for a while, but if anybody were to do it, Strider obviously can. And I went Gilbert in the 9 spot. He'll be 30. And then I rounded it out with Grayson Rodriguez We've talked about a few times over the last month or two on this episode, including with Eno Saris. And yeah, I think he'll be 28 at this time and still very high on the all-around arsenal here. I think he takes a nice step forward this year and gets back into, you know, ace discussion. And I think he kind of stays there moving forward. So Rodriguez in my 10. So Skeens, Skubal, Crochet, Yuri Perez, Painter, Sasaki, Job, Strider, Gilbert, and Rodriguez are my 10. In my article, I went 25 deep over on my Patreon. You know, Reagan's was tough. You know, Noah Schultz, you know, a tough omission. Bryce Miller, you know, Shane McClanahan, wouldn't surprise me if he got back up into this mix. Hunter Brown, the one that could jump up. You know, Kirby could still be up there. So, really tough. I mean, dark horse, maybe a Travis Sakura, who will only be 24 at this time. Maybe he gets up there, though it'll be hard to crack this top 10. But obviously, you know, very high upside with Sakura. You know, Bobby Miller, maybe he bounces back. Maybe not. I don't know. I had Alejandro Rosario as a dark horse as well, but that hasn't gone well so far with him meeting Tommy John. But yeah, really fun overall exercise here. Love doing this every year, and it's always fun to look back to see. You know, actually, we should probably go back and see. We were doing this 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if I can go dig up, and I'll post it from the Toolshed account on Twitter if I can find it. I'm sure I can. So it'll be interesting to see what we thought 3 years ago and how good we looked or how bad we looked.
I found mine from 2023.
Oh, did you want me to see it? Yeah, let's hear it.
I can read through them. This was March 3rd, 2023, projecting for entering 2026. Catcher, Adley Rutschman, Will Smith, Francisco Alvarez, MJ Melendez, Alejandro Kirk. That was when we were all on the Kirk train.
Yeah. Yep.
First base, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Looks pretty good. Pete Alonso, Vinny Pasquantino, Kyle Manzardo, and Matt Olson. So not terrible.
Yeah, not bad.
Second, Jazz, Ozzy, Andres Jimenez, Gleyber Torres, and Edward Julian. So one big whiff. In Edward Julian, but third base, Riley, Devers, Beatty, there's the whiff, Machado, and Jose Ramirez. Shortstop, this is funny, no Ellie, but O'Neill Cruz, Bobby Witt Jr., Bo Bichette, Wander Franco, rest RIP to his playing career, and Gunnar Henderson. Outfield, Ronald Acuna Jr., Julio Rodriguez, Yordan Alvarez, Fernando Tatis Jr., Kyle Tucker, Juan Soto, Mike Harris, Corbin Carroll, Jordan Walker, James Wood, and Elijah Green. So,
oh, there it is. I was like,
there's the whiff.
Yeah, it was pretty consistent. I was like, all right, three that you nailed, like one that was like, okay, not bad. And then there's like, yeah, the one whiff. So I was like, where's the whiff in the outfield? There's
Elijah Green.
There's the whiff.
All right, pitcher, Corbin Burns, Andrew Painter, Shane McClanahan, Spencer Strider, Sandy Alcantara, George Kirby, Aaron Nola, Brandon Woodruff, Grayson Rodriguez, Ricky Tiedemann, and Hunter Green.
I mean, I guess the whiff there has to be Tiedemann.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because he's so, I mean, still has the upside. I mean, that was a great call. I mean, I probably had Tiedemann up there as well, knowing how high I've been on Tiedemann, especially back then when I was seeing him live in AA at that time. So,
yeah.
Man, hopefully he can stay healthy, but.
I know it.
I mean, Tiedemann could still factor in. Like, the upside is a guy that's being discussed in an episode like this. Like, that upside is still there. Just can't stay healthy, but. All right, that's going to wrap us up. That was a really fun exercise. I mean, we'll do this again next year. It's always fun doing the crystal ball episodes. I think they're always well-received, a lot of fun to do, good exercise to kind of think it into the future as we all need to for Dynasty. We will be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.